Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 16th of November, and it is 5.5 weeks till Christmas. I drive everybody mad. By the time it gets to Christmas, they're like, I'm not listening to that show anymore because she keeps telling us how far it is.
I think you've done quite well this year.
I started at 15 weeks. But I didn't do it every week. I've only been doing it since last week. But there it is. It's like so close. Yeah. Seriously.
Have you done any Christmas
shopping?
No. Me neither. Have you done any Christmas shopping?
No, I have a rule in my house that Christmas cannot start until minimum 1st December, and that's when we put on Michael Bublé, and I drive my husband nuts for the entire month. Yeah. But if I do Christmas shopping too early, I forget. So actually this year, I've just tied up my house and found a number of Christmas presents I didn't give last year. So I have, in effect, done it early.
Fantastic. It might be for the wrong ages, however.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me what we're meant to imagine. So I am joined in the studio today, as you can hear, by the fabulous Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome back. And our guest today is Jane Michaud, who is the Director of Fundraising for Aspinall Foundation.
Good morning.
Hence why I'm very excited today. Most of my listeners know how passionate I am about the Aspinall Foundation and Port Lim. So we're really excited to have Jane on the show today, who's going to tell us more about what the foundation's up to and their amazing work, the Megafauna Project. So much to talk about. But we do still want to hear from you, the listeners. So please do give us a tweet at Bunker Extra with an X, hashtag Be Extra Be Bunker. Let us know how your week's been, what you're up to, how you're feeling with this lovely weather at the moment.
It's actually not too bad.
Seriously, have you been outside?
I was driving in this morning and it's like 10 degrees, but it's the middle of November. So really, I mean, I don't think it's too bad. I think it's mild. I mean, not all of us have been away to Florida. Some of us have been in this weather for, you know, the whole year. So it's not too bad.
Yeah, yeah. But everyone says that every year it's very mild this time of year, but it's always this mild at this time of year.
Yeah. I think January, February will be snow and I'll be complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too cold. Don't like it. But anyway, we still want to know what you've been up to. You can, as always, if you'd like to share with us today, if you have any questions for Jane about the Aspinall Foundation, give us a call in the studio. Don't worry, Jane, they don't normally phone, but just in case.
I was going to say, questions for myself or for you, because you know as much as I do, pretty much, if not more, about the Aspinall Foundation as our number one fan.
Yes. Give us a call in the studio on 01233 220035. 01233 220035, and if you can and you want to call, it's fine. Please remember to tweet us that you're calling, because the phone doesn't ring, it just flashes and I always miss it because I'm never looking at it. So, but you can, you never know, we've had a couple of calls in the past, so please do give us a call. And if you have got, okay, so we're coming up to the end of the year, we've got some more guests, amazing guests lined up for you. Next year is a whole new year, we've got a few gaps, so if you'd like to come on the show as a guest, if you would like to share your events with us, and also if you'd like to sponsor the Business Bunker Show, because you can do that. The Bunker Show, the Extra Show, take sponsors, so you can give us a sponsor. Give us an email at bunkerextra@gmail.com. Now, on last week on the show, I was joined in the studio by Mark Goldfinch, and our guest was Julie Daniels. So it was really great. We had a lovely chat with Julie about, you know, looking good, feeling good, style. Mark made the effort and came in a three-piece suit. Ooh. Which did make me chuckle when he walked in, but he made extra effort. Julie was great, but it was a great fun show. So if you'd like to listen to that or any of the previous shows, they are available on bizradio.co.uk. Click on the extra tab and then you can just click per guest of what you want to listen to. We've had some amazing guests over this last year. I was looking back and looking at some of the guests and I was like, I had a time hop come up on Facebook saying that Jason Allen was on a year ago. And I was like,
Was that a year ago?
Seriously, it can't have been a year ago. It must have been just a couple of months ago, but it was a year ago. So it's crazy how fast.
What
this
number show
in.
Are we on then? Do you know?
This is show 80.
Wow.
Yeah. We're on show 80. I've worked it out. March is about show 100. So we'll have a bit of a party and celebration then. Any excuse. But anyway, Gemma, what have you been up to? I feel like I haven't seen you for ages.
No, what have I been up to? I went to the business show yesterday.
Oh, how was it?
It was big. So yeah, it was really, really good. I went along because I was thinking about exhibiting. I normally exhibit in Kent, but I thought maybe I'd exhibit in London at the OCL. It's huge. Mm. Quite a few Kent businesses up there.
Oh, cool.
Lots of London businesses, obviously. They had this hologram one. If you got to see it on my Instagram story.
I haven't looked yet. I'll have to have a look.
Brilliant. So this hologram that you can hire it on for your stand, and that was quite quite good. Really, really busy.
We like stuff like that.
Yeah, really busy. Nice to get out and about.
It's nice to go somewhere different, isn't it? Yeah. Meet different people, which is good.
But I haven't been to many events this month, I don't think.
No, I mean, Gemma used to be like our diary of what's going on and, you know, what she's been up to. But she doesn't go out as much these days. So.
Yeah, I haven't been to many. I think that's probably about it.
There's a few brunches and lunches coming up, so maybe could change that. Go for a few lunches. I think the Women in Business lunch is on the 6th of December at Eastwell. So
yes, I saw that. So, yeah, might be able to get along.
Just make
that
one, you know, make one last effort at the end of the year. Eastwell's a nice place. Yeah. Lunch, be worth it.
You so didn't then go to the Kent Wedding Awards, which was on last night.
Oh, yeah, how did Portland do?
Well, I think they will be rather excited or possibly slightly tired this morning because they won yet again the Something Different Award for 2018.
Fantastic.
That's really brilliant. Yeah.
That's good. I know Chives Caterers won as well.
Did they?
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, so that's
fantastic.
Really good. Oh, good. So exciting. So we love it.
That's kind of it, really. That's what I've been up to. I'm just working.
Working.
Seeing my lovely clients, dealing with lots of issues. So that's been fantastic.
Yeah, you're super busy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Everyone I speak to these days, they're complaining they're so busy.
I'm not complaining.
I think it's very fashionable to go, no, nothing on really. Yeah. No, I don't do much.
Exactly, no. Quiet.
I did also go to Jackie from JJ Systems. She does a gala charity ball in aid of Alzheimer's UK. And a couple of years ago, she raised $7,000. She said, we're definitely topping that this year. Mm. That was fantastic. Lots and lots of people in the room. That was at the Canterbury
Cathedral Lodge.
My first time there.
It's a lovely little venue. I love
it. Nice little venue. Jason Allen Sway was there.
We like Jason. Jason's getting everywhere these days.
Mark Lemesma did a trick. I'm still trying to figure out how he did his magic with a card. So yeah, that was really, really good. Really
nice. It's good. It's a bit fun. It's good. There's so much going on, which is great. Obviously, it does tend to quieten down a little bit this time of year. Mm. Everyone's into the last quarter of the year.
Christmas dues, don't they? Their own personal kind of stuff. We're doing one down at Dragon.
Oh, you surprised me.
Yeah, because we don't like a party.
No.
So we're going to all go to one of the events at the hotel on the 16th of December, I think it is. So, yeah.
It's good. And there's potential because when you work by yourself, you don't tend to go out to Christmas do's because you're going to take out just yourself.
Well,
I'm going to take myself on a Christmas do this year.
We should have one, shouldn't we, really?
We should.
Where we just get together and have our own one.
You know what we should do? I'm going to put it out there. We should go because I believe Port Lim's still got some spaces left on their party nights.
Yeah, I was just thinking, actually. I think our party nights start next weekend, in fact, for Christmas. And it's my absolute favourite theme. It's Great Gatsby, Roaring Twenties this year. Yeah.
When are we going?
I offered to just turn up every night there's a party on anyway.
They need
my full outfit
Fantastic. Yeah. We'll do that. Let's get an email out there to all the girls and the guys. We can invite some guys as well.
Why not?
Yeah, and that's what it's about. We're doing lots of events where people that don't have huge organisations can come along and have a table and bring some friends.
So how much is a table and how big is a table?
I knew you'd ask me that.
Yeah. It's £40
thanks,
per person.
I told you she knew more about
tables of 10. And Chives Caterers are doing the catering, and it's food stations.
If you book a table of 10, do you get a discount, or is it still £40?
It's still £40 because you get so much. You've got DJ, you've got.
I'm actually looking at the listeners' card, but I'm looking at James to answer, which is looking a word in edgeways.
That's all right. That's a slightly different part of the business to mine, which is the fundraising overseas projects. But
casino tables, music, great. Yeah, so it's cool. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's find. I'll contact Kaylee, see what dates are available, and
And when does it go on till then, Amanda? Is it going into the new year, or do you know?
And we have a huge event on at New Year. Mm. Absolutely. Yeah.
God, I've got to go there as well.
Yeah. Well, that sounds brilliant.
It's cool. It's good. And what an amazing venue to have those type of events at.
Is it going
to
be in the marquee? Or?
Yes. It's in the new marquee where we held our recent event. So it's bigger, more people. Looks fantastic.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Fantastic. Sorted. Everybody out there, small businesses, single sole traders, we're all doing it. Yeah. Port Lim for Christmas do. Definitely. So obviously we've been hearing from Jane already. So let's find out more about Jane. Now, you are quite recently a new addition to the Aspinall Foundation.
Absolutely, yes.
A couple of months now, isn't it?
4 months now.
4 months to the date counting.
Well, no, it's more that I can't believe, I guess, how much I've learned and how much has happened in four months.
Feels like it's so much longer.
Well, yes and no.
In a good way.
in a really good way. I think I started and it was a heat wave. So I can't believe that was only 4 months ago based on what you were saying about the weather.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm pretty new in.
So where did you come from? Let's find a little bit about Jane before we go into all that small stuff.
So I haven't got a fundraising background, at least not professionally. I've done a bit of volunteering before, but I have got pretty much 20 years experience in sales and marketing. So it's a really big change. This is going from working in London in a very corporate office, working with lots of high street retailers and grocers. That's really what I've done in my career, with a few eccentric things thrown in. For example, I did set up and run a fine dining restaurant in London for a few years.
As you do.
And I've also worked in South Korea and I've worked in France. But most of my experience has been very much commercial and business related. And I think since having two children, so I've got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, two little boys, I suppose I've had a growing awareness or want to do something more meaningful, whatever that cheesy phrase means. So I do a lot in my spare time. I've supported various different charities over the years, but I've never done it full time. And I completely by accident stumbled across this fantastic job advertisement for director of fundraising at Portlaoise. And I really couldn't believe it because I've been a member of Portlaoise for many years. The boys love going there to visit the animals. And there was just something that flicked. And I said, this is it. This is the opportunity for me to try and do something that really takes all of that skills and experience, the commercial experience I've had, the strategic experience, a lot of, I guess, persuading people to invest in what it was that I was trying to sell at the time. And I thought, I really think I could put those to good use. At the time, I sent off my CV thinking, well, there's a bit of a gap here in that other than volunteer work, I haven't got, you know, 20 years of charity experience. But I was absolutely delighted when I got invited to interview with Bob O'Connor, who you know very well, Amanda,
who's the managing director of
both the parks and the Aspinall Foundation. And then a second interview with Damien Aspinall. And I didn't know how that would go. And I found it a fantastic experience, really inspiring. And of course, both of them are very commercially minded businessmen who have achieved so much to fund the parks over the years, to really grow them as tourist attractions. And so it obviously went quite well. I got offered the job. And so now I'm trying to really take all of that experience that I've had in the past and combine that with a huge steep learning curve about the work of the Aspinall Foundation. And I think what has been really amazing to me over the last 4 months is finding out the extent of the overseas work, which I, as a regular visitor to Portlaoise, I hadn't realised how much work has been done and for so long overseas. And that's really what the focus of my role is. It's to try and build awareness of that work and to get individuals and companies to help us continue some of the great work we do around the world.
And I guess that's the thing, isn't it? So many people, I mean, I'm quite surprised there's still so many people that have never actually even heard of the Aspinall Foundation to begin with. Two, that they don't actually realise that they're a global charity, although based in Kent, they're a global charity, and just the work that they do.
Yeah. I must admit, I visited for the first time this year.
Yeah, that's because I made you.
I know.
You must go to what is this place about that, Mandy?
Yes, go. Go.
But, you know, given that it's only less than an hour away from me, I only thought to myself, it's a pity I hadn't been here earlier, really. So, yeah.
And I think it was interesting, actually, when I handed in my letter of resignation, my colleagues kind of, oh, so where are you going to? Expecting me to say one of the grocers or a different agency. Mm. Oh, I'm going to the Aspinall Foundation. Oh, is that the luxury luggage or is that the vinegar company? No, it's a wildlife park down in Kent. And then I think they thought it was quite a small little place. Yeah. And like, that's a bit unusual. Mm. And then actually it was great because the entire sales team and 30 of my former colleagues came down and stayed at the park in September. And I don't think the scale of the operation had dawned on them until they were actually there looking over the 110 acres of savannah and the 600 acre park. And of course, that's when people come and stay, that's where they begin to have time to understand a bit more about the work of the Aspinall Foundation and the overseas project. So yes, we have these fantastic wildlife parks in Kent, but our purpose is to prevent the extinction of endangered animals. Yeah. And what we try and do is to breed the animals in our parks in Kent and reintroduce them back to the wild where we can. Mm. And it's very exciting that we've just got the permits through to send 7 of our Portlaoise African painted dogs back to Africa, and that will be happening in the next few weeks.
Fantastic.
That's really exciting. That's what it's about.
And I guess, again, it's there's so much still naivety about wildlife parks and zoos and things like that, I guess, because in the past, the police has got a lot of bad press. So people don't actually realise. They go, well, you know, put them back in, you know, don't take them out of the natural environments, put them back into the natural environments. Why they should be in the natural environments, they shouldn't be in cages or, you know, in, for us to look at. And people just really don't understand, appreciate the danger these animals are in their natural environment.
And we totally, that is our entire viewpoint ourselves. Yeah. Our aim is that we don't have to exist, that we don't have to have animals in captivity. And there are, as you've alluded to, there's a huge range of what being in captivity means. In fact, we take on a lot of animals that have been kept in less than ideal conditions into the parks at Howlett's and Port Lyme. And it's really important to us, the welfare of the animals. So we have huge enclosures at Port Lyme. We keep the animals in family groups rather than just a couple to be on show for the public. But our ultimate aim is that if we can protect these animals in their natural habitats, where they are from, and reintroduce those populations, then actually there won't be a need for us to have the parks that we have. And as you said, back to the wild, it's very, very difficult because in many areas, the wild is not safe. And that's where our megafauna campaign, our project comes in that we have 1 million acres of protected reserves out across Gabon and the Congo. And we've been out there for 30 years. So in fact, the habitat is there. A lot of the problems that are facing animals at the moment is that there's huge habitat loss. And that certainly is a problem in a number of our projects. But with megafauna, because we've been reintroducing our Western lowland gorillas from Port Lyme and Howlett's for 30 years, the forests are intact. The problem is the animals have been poached to extinction. So there haven't been African painted dogs in that area since the 80s. So this will be a fantastic example of where we are reintroducing them and protecting the area from poaching.
And do you then go back sort of years later to see how they're doing, or is that the end of
reintroduction that? Is very, very long term and very, very difficult. So it sounds easy. We just take them from Port Lyme and chuck them in the wild and see how they do. No, it takes years to get this right. So they will go through stages of reintroduction. So for example, with our gorillas, they go back very gradually in stages, and monitoring is one of the most important things that we do across our projects. So we use camera traps and we use radio collars so that we can track all of the animals and see how they're progressing. But for example, the gorillas that we send back, they start it's very much in stages, and they go to a protected island and we supplement their diet until we're really confident that they're able to forage and learn themselves. So the African dogs will need to learn to hunt properly before we can get anywhere close to reintroducing them. But we've got lots of experience across lots of different types of animals of success in this area, so that they've got the best chance of survival when they finally get back to the wild, albeit the wilds that we're talking about, we still have to protect heavily from poaching.
How do you do that though?
How do you protect them from poaching?
It's really complex. So there's a number of ways. There is, I guess, the at one end you have rangers who are going around and literally patrolling, protecting the area. But a lot of it is about education and working with communities so that there isn't a need to poach. So you have a number of factors going on. You have the illegal wildlife trade, where it's very much organised crime, which is very, very difficult to protect against. But you also have communities that are very poor, and they're hunting for the bushmeat trade, or they're hunting to feed their families, or because certain animals have been a threat to villages in the past. So that's where we really can make progress. We work with the communities to educate them about the need to preserve these areas and for other sources of income, so that we basically take away one of the threats to the animals there.
I think again, that's something that people aren't aware of, is the Aspinall Foundation work with the communities, you know, in the areas, as you say, and re-educating them, because, you know, they don't know any different, because as far as I'm concerned, obviously it's about survival, and, you know, they'll kill these animals because they think they're a threat, or for food or whatever. So, and if they can realize there's a different way to live and to earn money and to survive. And obviously by the park rangers you have out there are obviously all locals as well, aren't they? So you're giving people's jobs. It's all about the bigger picture. I guess there's
and the bigger picture, it's right up, we have to be working with at government level, because we can't just go into other countries and fence off an area and not work with the communities there.
This is ours, you're not allowed to use it.
And that's what makes it very complex and very difficult to do, which is why I think for me in the 4 months that I've been here, it's been astonishing to see how much the Aspinall Foundation does abroad and just how complex it is to do it and to get it right. And there's very few organisations that are able to do that. Mm. And
how much, you might not know, but how much does that cost then to reintroduce animals back into the wild?
Depends very much on the animal, the size of the animal. So dogs are fairly light, and therefore in some way, even if you get to just the basics of air freighting animals, then obviously size comes into the picture. But it will depend on the individual animals, how long they need to take to be reintroduced, and all the interventions to get there. So I talked about complexity a number of times, but things like vaccinations and diseases, that's another factor and consideration. We have to make sure that all of our animals are vaccinated so they won't contract diseases once they're out there. But also it's very important that we are not taking diseases from this country in the UK into the wild. And as you can imagine, there's a huge amount of paperwork and organisations that have to be aligned to what we're trying to do for any of this to happen. So I talked earlier about getting permits to take the dogs back. That's the sort of thing that can take months to years to get the OK and the go ahead for.
And I guess these governments can be quite difficult sometimes to deal with as well, can they? Are they a bit stubborn sometimes?
Well, fair to say I'm not on the front line of that, but I think... Yeah, I mean,
it's a government.
How hard can it be to get yourself out of the EU? No, it is hard. And I think that's one of the things that makes this particular project so full of hope, in that we have worked across Gabon and the Congo for 30 years working with governments. And that has not been easy. It will not have been easy, but we have got a working relationship, and we've got the history there and the support. So I think from my point of view, prior to working at the organisation, sometimes you feel that you want to do something, make a difference or contribute to huge problems like mass extinction of species, but you feel that what you can do is so small, what's the difference? And what has been fantastic for me is that we have very specific real projects that are live and are working. And you can go and see the painted dogs at Port Lim before they go, and you know they're going back to the wild. And to me, having something so tangible that we can break down by individual costs for each animal
makes a difference, doesn't it?
For me,
that's
important.
You can see what good you're doing. I guess sometimes with some of the bigger charities, it's always a continuous hard slog, and you can't necessarily always see an immediate reaction to what's happening. Whereas, as you say, if you're doing very specific things per animal, per area, it makes a difference.
Yeah, I think sometimes one of the biggest barriers to trying to tackle some of these issues is that you just feel helpless, that you can't do enough. So if you talk about climate change, you think, well, will it really make a difference if I walk to work instead of drive a car, or if I don't recycle this cup, or I, you know, that sort of thing. I think you can just feel overwhelmed by how small you are and how big the scale of the problem is. And what I like about this is it's broken down and we can see clear success. But also, if we don't act now, this is a real critical time. We have a matter of years that if we don't work hard to protect some of these animals, we won't see them in the wild. And I always find the dinosaur forest at Port Lim quite interesting because some people think, oh, they're not living, why do you have dinosaurs there? And I actually think it makes a real stark reminder that if we don't act now... I say this to my kids, if we don't act now, you may only see plastic tigers in the future.
Well, exactly,
or in zoos. Yeah. And I think that is a terrible shame. So for me, the real driver in doing my work is that I feel real responsibility to my children that these animals did not become extinct on my watch, not through my lack of trying, because I think maybe we've taken for granted to an extent the standards of living we now have, but what that has done to the planet. And
it's a bit like that orangutan. Can we talk about that? The orangutan advert.
Yeah, so there's a
bit like that, isn't it?
It's heart wrenching at the moment. Yeah.
It's heart wrenching, and for us, it's fantastic that maybe people are beginning to be more aware of the sorts of issues, but maybe feel they can do something because you know, a lot of pressure is being put on supermarkets. We are seeing single-use plastic bans coming in, and it is really important, but individuals can make a difference.
Yeah.
And I think particularly with megafauna, for me, it's how can businesses and corporations actually do their part in what is global conservation projects.
Well, we're going to hear more about that in a little bit. We're going to have a bit of a musical break now. So you are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday the 16th of November. I'm jojoined in the studio by the fabulous Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law.
Hello.
I've got that right now. Yeah. It's only taken me like a year or so.
It rolls
off my tongue now. And our guest today is Jane Michot, the Director of Fundraising for the Aspinall Foundation. Now, of course, I have chosen a very apt song to play today. This actually is the Galpins version, not the Toto version of Africa. Listen to this and we'll be back after the break. Takes a minute to come in. Patience, here it goes.
Whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flights. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some long forgotten words or ancient melodies. Say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you.
Do jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
And welcome back. You are listening to the Business Bunker Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It's quite a mouthful, that lot. Yeah. it is Friday the 16th of November. It is literally, this is your Christmas countdown, 5.5 weeks till Christmas. So it's time to start thinking about Christmas really soon for Christmas shopping and buying and stuff. I'm joined in the studio today by my fabulous co-host Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law, and our guest is Jane Michot, the Director of Fundraising from the Aspinall Foundation. Now, I literally have goosebumps hearing that song. It just has so much more meaning to me these days. So for some of the listeners will know that last year I teamed up with a group of Kent businesses and we ran the Gorillas and Gowns charity fashion show, which was actually awesome. And this music, this version of the music, so to give you a brief history, otherwise Paul will never forgive me, the version we just played is his son Stuart singing with the Galpins of Kings, is it? Message me if I'm wrong, Paul. But their a cappella version of it. And we use this as the background music of the fashion show last year. But it's just got so much meaning. It's just so, you know, I think, Paul Liam, I hear this music and it just all comes together. So Jane and I also now have another idea for fundraising next year. So watch this space. More music's coming. But we have, Jane has just been filling us in with so much more about the amazing work that the Aspinall Foundation are doing, helping to rehabilitate and introduce wild animals back into their natural environments. And we've also been discussing, obviously, it's not as simple as all of that.
Sounds,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it was the Gorillas and Gowns last year was helping to raise money for the four brothers who were homed at Port Lim and then went to the Congo. And I think you were just saying, I think we said it off air, so that when they were released on an island. But just now they're beginning now to go across the bridge to the main resort, is that right?
Yeah, we've been monitoring them really closely and they've been doing really, really well. But it's very important that we do it in stages to make sure that they are ready and have the best chances when they do get back into the wild. Now, obviously, with gorillas, that's what we have the most experience in the area. So we've been reintroducing gorillas for a long time and we still monitor all of them. And what's really interesting is a lot of our supporters that have been with us a long time know these gorillas inside out. They know their names. They visited them when they were at Port Lima Howlett's and they can continue to follow their progress, which is fantastic. So, yes, we have the four boys are now on their island doing well. And we still supplement their food if needed, but they are doing very, very well. We monitor that all the time, both in terms of kind of visual appearance, but we also have used statistics to look at how muscular they are,
right, yeah,
whether they've got the right levels of fat, etc. Rather than just he looks like he's doing okay, it's yeah, very scientific.
His coat's more than his coat's shiny and his nose is cold.
But particularly with gorillas, it's really important that they're very healthy weight. And as you can imagine, the process of taking gorillas from here overseas, being in confinement and first getting into beginning to be of interest as well, it's quite a stressful time for them. So it's really important that we make sure that they are healthy and that if they are losing weight that we're able to do something about that so that we can make sure the best possible health.
So can I talk to you a little bit more about fundraising aspect of
it? Yes, of course, yeah.
So what are the challenges in fundraising? Because I think when, as a general member of the public, I think, oh, they're doing fine. You know, they've got their park and reserve. You know, I've bought my ticket. I've done my bit. But what are the challenges that you face in trying to raise funds?
Yeah, so it's interesting you mentioned the parks, actually, because a challenge in itself is that it costs £1 million a year to feed the animals at Portland and Howlett. So even if you appear to have a very busy park and you have lots of people visiting, that's great because it's covering the cost of the park. It means that anything else we do overseas, we in effect have to ask people for more money. Now, in some ways, the people that most love what we do and understand what we do are the people that are coming to the parks, but also those are the people that have paid to come into the parks and done their bit. And that part is very important for us, particularly if you think about the animals that are being bred there and are being reintroduced. The parks are looking after those animals before the overseas team does their part of the work. But it does mean that anything we do is in addition, if you like, to the money that's coming into the parks for overseas projects. So part of it is trying to raise that awareness beyond just the visitors on the park, or to ask those that are able to just find a little bit more to give us. And there's various different ways people can help. So we have people that come and volunteer and give up their time rather than their money, which is really important. We have lots of companies locally that will give us either their skills or will donate products, which is helpful. But essentially for Megafauna, we do need people to donate money, if possible, to run these projects, because it is very costly. So we are launching our Megafauna Appeal, which is about raising £1 million to support the million acres.
Right,
that we look after, because it costs us over £250,000 a year to keep these projects going, and as we hopefully are able to do more reintroductions, that can make a particular year even more costly than that.
So, is it just donations? Can people put on what can people do to help? So, for instance, could someone take on, like I was talking about Alzheimer's earlier, and Jackie doing her gala ball? That wasn't something that the Alzheimer's UK had said to her to do. She took that on her own back and said, I want to do this on behalf of. So is that something that people can do?
People can do anything they would like to fundraise for us, absolutely. So I think, actually, to your point, one of the challenges in fundraising is that there's so many ways you could help us, it's sometimes hard to know which ones to talk about. So coming up to Christmas, a great way to support us is to go online and adopt one of our animals. It's a great gift to give, particularly to children, but there's many adults that love to give.
You've just given me another idea. well, it's Lucy's birthday as well on Boxing Day, so we've already decided to get her a animal experience and feeding the cheetahs, because that's her favourite, but we could adopt them as well.
Yeah. You can adopt an animal, and yes, as you mentioned there, you can come to our parks and experience feeding the animals or interacting with them. There's other ways you can give. So lots of people I've heard shop on Amazon. Well, Amazon have Amazon Smiles, which means that if you select us as the charity, that every time you buy, you can donate some money. They will donate on your behalf some money that will come to us. Or you can become a donor. You can just find out more about what we're doing. So if you want more information, we produce really detailed information twice a year. These lovely brochures that go out that talk about all of our projects. So if you want to find out more about our overseas conservation work, let us know. Sign up to receive either by email or by post more information. You can come and volunteer. You can come and give us your skills, particularly businesses. So we are a really small team. There's just six of us fundraising for the overseas projects at Port Lim. And if you have skills that you think you could donate to us, if you can give your time for a day, whether you are a web designer or a data analyst or really good at building stuff, this is all the sorts of things that we can use. And I think also just spreading the word about what we do and raising awareness, because most people in Kent will have some awareness of the parks, but a lot of people don't know just how much we're doing.
Absolutely not,
overseas and around the world. To really, our core mission is to prevent the extinction of endangered animals, and we have some fantastic success stories of where we have intervened and really helped.
So what are the benefits for business owners besides, I mean, obviously it's a great charity to donate to, and we can see that work and follow it through. And also there are some tax benefits, just putting it in there.
Yes.
But what do you
so you
do?
Mean other than the warm glow and the gift of giving?
Other than absolutely. The warm glow and the total
absolutely.
Altruism, which we all feel for.
That's what we do
You know, for some, is there anything that you do? Can they sponsor an event, or can they sponsor something? Can they get their name somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a real kind of the early stages of launching our Megafauna Appeal. But what we'll be looking at there is really what we can do for corporations. So the publicity for the people that are supporting us. day tickets for staff, visits, stays, that sort of thing, but also really, I guess, awarding and giving recognition through conservation awards to the people that are doing their part. Because I do think at the moment it's very much corporations that do need to step up and help with some of these global problems. Because you ask, what are the challenges in fundraising? Well, I think for a lot of individuals, many people are sadly touched by tragic events in their life, and or they feel they want to give to something very locally based and can't afford to give to lots of different charities all at the same time. So this is where I think sustainability, doing your bit as a corporation as well as an individual, is where I hope Kent businesses are able to get involved. And I think the great thing is you can see the work we do, even though a lot of it happens in different countries. You can come and visit the animals that will be going back, and you can really understand why it's important by visiting the parks.
I think that's the thing as well, is you say you can actually physically see, you can go and visit the animals that you adopt or the animals that you're helping, and that makes a difference. And I know it's one of your big passions now is to get more Kent businesses involved. You know, the Kent business community is fantastic and always very supportive. And there's so many different ways. The Megafauna Project, the Million Acre Project, I'm very excited about. And Butterflies Events certainly will be buying an acre or 100 or 200. Possibly.
Yes, I was saying, how many acres would you like?
Yeah. I'd love to buy the whole million, but that's a bit stretching the budget a little bit at the moment. But as I say, even for me as a small business, if I'm buying 100 acres, you know, I'm going to be so invested in that. I couldn't think of the word then, because I'm going to want to know what's going on, and I'm going to pick the acre where
gorillas gone back.
I want the gorillas section just there, and I want to see. I mean, and obviously, I know you've got big ideas of how you want it to look, and it would be fantastic if, again, businesses can help you with this, because I know what you would like to do, which is one of your dreams, is to have like an online map so then people can actually look at the map and see where the animals are, what's actually physically going on the project, and by having sort of graphic designers and website people who could build this for you, and camera people, all those stuff. Come on, you're out there. Listen, we want a web designer, we want a graphic designer, we want somebody to build
always want
this.
data analysts.
But as you say, sometimes it doesn't have to be the money. It's time. It is also beneficial to the charity, and all those types of things which help with the projects make the difference.
Yeah, and I think for me it is, you know, again, with Kent companies, they might think, well, why overseas and what can we do and is it enough? Well, actually, there are fantastic businesses across Kent and one of the largest counties in the UK. And actually, if we do come together on this, we could make this project huge. And we're not just talking about gorillas here and African painted dogs. We're talking about lions, elephants, some of the most iconic species on the planet that if we don't do something now, they will not be around.
Exactly. And that's a big thing. I mean, Gemma mentioned before about obviously the orangutans, and that's really, I think, bringing home to people, and you can see the horrors. And I know obviously they're probably made look even worse online to really tug at the heartstrings, but that's what's happening to our planet. And it's a reflection, isn't it? Because what will happen is all the animals will be gone. And then what happens to our environment? What happens to, you know, it's part of the ecosystem. It's part of the circle of life, if you like. But, you know, all of these animals have been part of the life and they should continue to be there. Otherwise, what will happen to us going down further down the line as well?
Absolutely. And I said, I feel a real responsibility to the next generation. There's been quite a lot of publicity around the fact that we are the first generation that knows the extent of the destruction we are wreaking on the planet. And I don't want to have to say to my boys in 30 years' time when these animals are extinct and we've lost huge areas of habitat and, you know, the world has heated up by 2 degrees. I don't want to tell them that, oh, well, yeah, I could have done something, I suppose, but I was quite busy at the time, and you know,
I
want to say I did everything I could, and if everyone does a little bit, we can achieve some fantastic results, really make a difference. And that's just a fairly small charity six of us fundraising in Kent. So fantastic. Please help us.
Absolutely. So let people know how they can get a hold of you if they're interested in the Million Acre Project or anything to do with any businesses that want to help support the Aspen Foundation.
Okay, well, there's obviously going to our website is a fantastic way to find out more about the Aspenall Foundation and various different ways to donate. If you'd like to find out more information specifically about megafauna or sign up to receive more information, then fundraising@aspenallfoundation.org. Just drop us an email. I'm sure we'll put that in the links after the show.
Absolutely, definitely.
And of course, I know Amanda was sharing on LinkedIn yesterday. If you want to find me on LinkedIn and message me that way, that's absolutely fine.
Fantastic. So do people help make a difference, even if you're just joining us at the Christmas do, which we're going to, Gemma and I are now organising.
So, Gemma, were you volunteering to organise a fundraising event for us?
I'm volunteering to come and drink Prosecco.
Yeah, you can drink Prosecco for charity. That is possible.
In
fact, I think you'd be prime for some of the fundraising events we're doing next year. So if you'd like to jump out of a plane for us, do the longest zip wire in Europe, or abseil off a large building in Brighton, these are all the sorts of things you can do.
Is the zip wire over the park?
The zip wire is in Wales, but it is the longest one in Europe.
See, you should do a zip wire over the park.
That would be what high thrills, you know, across the top of the tigers exactly. And the lions enclosures.
How amazing.
It's funny you say that. I did mention that to Chris last week and I think it was a no.
Did he say no? Chris, come on, sort it out.
I mean, it might be quite entertaining, but and yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing so much about the Aspenall Foundation. Paul has just messaged me and he just said he's just actually reading in the news that partly due to the Aspenall Foundation's work, gorillas are now stabilising in Africa.
That's wonderful.
So it's just...
Yeah, and another really fantastic project is we're coming up to our 10-year anniversary of working in Madagascar. Now, Madagascar is one of the poorest countries in the world, and lemurs are native to Madagascar and not found anywhere else. And they were severely threatened. We were down to our last 100 greater bamboo lemurs, and they are now back up to 1,000 due specifically to the work of the Aspenall Foundation there. So
that's fantastic. Keep up the good work, and people, get involved. I will keep on pestering you. You know what I'm like. Now, Gemma, we have got some events to get. We've got a few minutes now towards the end of the show. There is quite a few events coming up still over the next couple of weeks. So we're going to call this dates for the diary section. So if you do yours first, Gemma, because I think you've got through to the end of November.
Okay. So tonight, there is a failure night. It has another word, but we can't mention
it on air. We can't mention that on air.
At Dragon Co-Work in Chatham, there are four speakers sharing their failures. One of them is Andrea Bird Barker. Should be good. It's going to have a live band, gourmet hot dogs, and I think alcohol slushies as well.
Alcohol slushies. But has he got the Prosecco on tap yet?
He will have bottles of Prosecco there.
Roland. Keep telling him he needs Prosecco on tap.
I might be popping.
They've got beer on tap, so...
They have.
Oh, yeah, but not Prosecco.
Exactly.
I thought it was a good idea and then...
Oh, have you tried it? Was it not good?
Yeah.
Bottle needs to be in the bottle. There are several bottles.
Just bottles.
On Monday, it's Monday coming. Gosh, this come around quick. 19th of November, 8:30 till 5 PM. Kickstart Social Digital at Bookmore Park. So we had on the beautiful Lucy Hall, didn't we? Couple of months ago,
months ago.
She was explaining what that's all about. It's not just social media, but lots of other good takeaways you'll get.
Yes, and I shall be there with the mic. We'll be doing on spot interviews. The Business Bug Extra.
If you want to be in the interview,
yes, find me. I'll be there shoving my microphone in everyone's faces.
So that's one day's social media and digital marketing event workbook, and you can go-karting afterwards for just £45.
I think the go-karting is just a little bit extra, but the whole day is £45 and then it's £20 for the go-karting.
So, yeah, sounds good.
Fabulous.
That's got six speakers and a lunch refreshment. Then on Wednesday, the 2nd of November, so this is all stuff to get you ready for next year, you see.
I have put the link so you can tell people where they can find out more.
Kickstart.
I know I said to do it fast, but...
You said fast, you know, right.
Okay. Give all the details.
www.kickstartsocial.media. And then on Wednesday, the 2nd of November.
That's not right. December. It must be the 22nd.
22nd of November. Yeah. Maximise Your Social Media in Margate. So that's a training session with Ben Abbott. Again, another lovely guest that we had on not so long ago. It's going to be for business owners.
Sorry, that's Wednesday the 21st.
Wednesday the 21st of November. Blame Amanda, not me.
Sorry.
This is when you say, do you actually read what's on the paper?
Yes.
Marketing assistants, social media beginners, and people interested in podcasting. Podcasting's really taking off now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge.
Great to listen to in your car.
Well, it's all about content marketing, isn't it? So yeah. It's also a big, huge, content marketing is the huge buzzword at the moment. So
yeah,
all that type of thing is good.
So that's a 3-hour workshop on social media, podcasting, and personal branding. So to have a look at more about that, then you go on to Facebook and look up Maximum Media. And then the day after, if you've not had enough of social media.
I know, there's quite a lot of social media going on in the next week.
But it's all planning for next year, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now is your time. People might be winding down, but it's now time to start thinking about the next quarter, the first quarter of the next year. Coming with a bang. So Thursday, 22nd November, 9:30 a.m. till 1 p.m, we've got ZC Social Media Academy. So that's a session 3, creating effective campaigns for 2019. So that includes Facebook ads, Google AdWords, SEO tactics, social media and video marketing. And that's a free event at the St. George Hotel in Chatham. And to find out more about that, then visit zcsocialmedia.co.uk. That's it for the month.
I gave you all the social media stuff, didn't I? So I have actually got one more to fit in this month as well, from the lovely Peter Searle, the Biz Doctors. He has got an event coming up on Wednesday 21st, which is at the Metro Bank in Maidstone from 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. It's an FSB Connect, so it's a free event. And this month we'll be hearing from Liz White from Think Wild Media, talking about clever PR and how it can save your business in a time of crisis, along with Miriam McCook. Miriam, we haven't heard from Miriam for ages, who is a writer, storyteller and speaker and blogger. So to find out more and to book onto that, if you go to businessdoctors.co.uk or Eventbrite and the FSB Connect. Talking of FSB, so this is into December now. So I'm going to be busy this week. So on Tuesday, the 4th of December, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. is the FSB Big Brunch, hosted by Deborah Turner, and it's at Eastwell Manor. They've got two speakers, lots of women in business discussing their businesses and what's going on. The FSB brunches are really, really good. So that's worth looking into. So if you look on Eventbrite, FSB Big Brunch. And then on the Thursday, if you love Eastwell Manor and want to go back again, on the Thursday from 11:15 to 2:30 at Eastwell Manor is the Kent Women in Business Lunch. Now, the Kent Women in Business host several lunches throughout the year. They're always hosted by Emma Lydiard, who is the MD of Global, Heart Global. And they have two speakers, and then again, lunch and lots of networking. So that's the Kent Women in Business. So if you go to kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk and book on for that. So I'm busy that week. I've got a brunch and a lunch coming up. And what else have we got? And we also have got a bit more networking, the Marsh Networking Breakfast, which is on the 29th of November at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch, which is 7:45 a.m., a little bit early for me, but if you like the morning stuff,
brunch sounds
brunch is more exactly. But some people like it. You know, it's a full English breakfast at the Ship in Dymchurch. Meet other businesses on the marsh, and then they do have a little bit more civil marsh networking over coffee, which is on the 5th of December at the Cinqport Arms, New Romney.
Is it Cinq?
Paul corrected me on this. It's definitely Sync from 10 a.m. So if you follow at TD Botty on the Twitter, or go onto Eventbrite and look for the Marsh Networking even, and then you will be able to find out more there. So that's to keep you busy for the next couple of weeks. We have come to the end of another very busy show. So thank you so much, Gemma, for co-hosting and coming back. Thank you for Jane for joining us. Next week on the show, I am joined in the studio by our cybersecurity expert, Richard Bell. I love calling him our cybersecurity expert. He's not just ours, but I like to call him ours. And our guest is Barry Thompson from Me Now. Barry and John are going to be back. They were here a few months ago, and now we're going to be finding out what in fantastic stuff they've been up to with Me Now. Don't forget to listen to Paul's show on Tuesday, 1 till 3. He's got another great lineup of guests, and we'll be back next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.